Dear listeners, I'm Lauren Conlon, and before you embark on this investigative journey with me, I want to offer a sincere word of my acknowledgement and gratitude. When I, as the host, first set out on this path, I was admittedly very green. I lacked the seasoned expertise and finesse that comes with experience in investigative podcasting and reporting. However, every story has a beginning and an ending, and this podcast represents the start of my own investigative odyssey. So as you dive into these episodes, you may notice rough edges or moments where my inexperience shines through, but please know that every stumble and misstep has been a crucial part of my learning process, and I've embraced each challenge as an opportunity for growth and improvement. So I want to express my heartfelt appreciation to each and every one of you who has stuck with the story despite my imperfections, because Grant's story is important. So your support and patience have been invaluable as I've navigated the complexities of investigative podcasting. And your feedback, whether constructive criticism, words of encouragement, or maybe something that wasn't so nice, has helped me and helped shape this podcast into what it is today. So without further ado, here is Corruption: What Happened to Grant Solomon.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Corruption: What Happened to Grant Solomon. I'm your host, Lauren Conlon. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode last week with trial attorney Misty Maris. She is such a voice of reason, and I loved what she had to say. I do plan on doing a second episode with her after she has read all of the documents in their entirety. I mean, I know it's a lot. It's taken me about a year, to be honest, but I do plan on going back to her. So, there's been a lot of outreach very recently surrounding Grant's case, and it's been pretty amazing. I've had a lot of people reach out. Angie Solomon has had press reach out. And when I say people, I also mean organizations. So I've had caseworkers from organizations like the Missing Coalition, who don't just deal with missing persons, they deal with cases like Grant where there are obvious mishandlings and they just don't want to see cases like this swept under the rug. So that's just one example. They've reached out, offered to help, and it's incredible. But as a side note, we do have some things locked down and in motion right now that will be huge in getting things pushed forward for a real investigation. So I'm honestly in awe and just grateful at how things are coming together. So thank you everyone who has been so supportive. But I want to get to corruption. the definition of corruption. What is corruption? So I want to read you an excerpt from an April 2024 report from Best Life and bestdiplomats.com. And the quote here is, "The 15 most corrupt states in America that you should know about." And in part of this article, they explain their research and how they got to their conclusions and their findings. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from here. Quote, "Corruption, though a global challenge, is prevalent in the United States across different states. Understanding the extent of corruption in each state is crucial for addressing this issue effectively. According to Best Life's comprehensive assessment, the top most corrupt states in the United States for 2024 in descending order are New York, California, Illinois, Florida, Pennsylvania, Texas, Ohio, New Jersey, Louisiana, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, and Kentucky. In an ideal world, corruption would be a non-issue, and governments at all levels would prioritize the well-being of their citizens. However, the reality is corruption exists globally. But the United States ranks 25th on the Corruption Perception Index as one of the least corrupt countries. But instances of corruption and scandals do persist. Certain states within the U.S. exhibit higher levels of corruption than others, showcasing the need for vigilance and reform. Best Life conducted a thorough analysis to determine the corruption levels across states, considering factors such as public corruption convictions per 10,000 residents, reported violations by medical providers, anti-corruption measures for public officials, and the state integrity score. Each metric was carefully weighted to calculate a corruption index score, with 100 representing the highest level of corruption and 0 indicating the least corrupt state. Now, here is what was said about Tennessee. Tennessee struggles with corruption across various sectors, impacting the state's governance and societal integrity. Recent corruption cases and challenges underscore the need for robust measures to combat corrupt practices effectively. And based on federal convictions on this chart, which you can see is linked out in the episode notes, Tennessee would score a 32. I also just want to read something about New York because I live here and I know that it's not the greatest sometimes. New York, a state steeped in history and prominence, grapples with a long-standing issue, corruption. Over the past decade, more than 30 current and former state office holders have faced convictions, sanctions, accusations of wrongdoing, making New York State with the highest number of corrupt officials. Yes, I believe that. And the actual definition of the word corruption from the dictionary, the first definition is dishonest or fraudulent conduct by those in power, typically involving bribery. And the second definition is the process by which something, typically a word or expression, is changed from its original use or meaning to one that is regarded as erroneous or debased. It's interesting that the dictionary definition uses the word bribery, and I just wanted to put all of that out there, as I don't want anyone to think I'm just pulling this information out of the sky when it comes to certain things in Tennessee. I am, again, well aware that this happens all over the country, but I did find it interesting that Tennessee is in the top 15 most corrupt states. Okay. Remember when I brought up a bill that was proposed in 2022 by Tennessee Senate Majority Leader Jack Johnson, whose wife we mentioned last week as presiding over Angie and Aaron's custody battle? He was pushing the Naomi Judd bill, and that bill, as I mentioned last season, would make it near impossible to submit an open records request for a death ruled non-criminal. Now, good news. Good news. It would appear that the bill is dead, but Johnson is allegedly working on one that's similar. I don't know the validity of that specifically, but I did come across this Fox 17 article written by Dennis Ferrier. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his name, but I really enjoyed this article. I'm going to read it to you. And I also wrote Dennis an email about doing a story on Grant to wake some of these local politicians up, because Dennis brings up the case of Lauren Agee, and I remember hearing about this, maybe on Crime Junkie I heard it, but I didn't realize at the time that her death took place in Tennessee, and she was from Sumner County. And if you recall, she fell off a cliff into Center Hill Lake while camping with friends, and the Tennessee police were very quick to rule it an accident, but it turns out it was actually murder. And just going back to this article, I wish that he mentioned Grant or knew about Grant, which again is why I sent him an email, because can you imagine, again, not being able to hear the 911 call or actually see into the sloppy investigation that was done when it came to Grant? So, and imagine if we had body cam footage. And P.S., still nothing from Mayor Page, and more on body cam later. But I'll stop digressing and I will read Roger's article. Quote, "The so-called Naomi Judd bill makes it more difficult for the public to obtain death records. But hidden in the idea of protecting people's privacy is a bill that many say prevents families from seeking justice and allows law enforcement to hide a sloppy investigation. Naomi Judd's tragic suicide brought a lot of media attention. Some outlets wanted to know everything about the country star's death. That irked the family. The next thing you know, Franklin State Senator Jack Johnson has filed a bill. In essence, it says if law enforcement determines no crime has been committed, no one can obtain scene photos, 911 calls, or even video and audio from police body cams. For Nashville private detective Sheila Wysocki, this bill makes some terrible assumptions. For instance, it suggests that law enforcement gets things right 100% of the time. Sheila says, and that's the thing. Where's the accountability? I thought the public and the reason that we have these open records law is to keep the authorities accountable. In this particular case, you're taking access away from the public. Why? And why are you protecting them? Wysocki has made a career in challenging law enforcement investigations. She was the lead detective in upending the Holly Bobo case and the TBI's massive mishandling of that investigation. She also restructured the Lauren Agee case. Remember the young Sumner County woman who the DelKalb County Sheriff ruled fell into Center Hill Lake from a cliff accidentally? The family was able to show how impossible that was and challenged every finding of the investigation, using much of the material gathered in the investigation to disprove it. If this bill passed, everything would have been sealed. Lauren's mom can't imagine. The police file, the autopsy, all the things that gave us a better idea of how my baby died. Imagine if all of those were restricted and I couldn't have them. Where is the justice in that? I just can't even conceive that a bill like this would be put out there. If you talk to anybody and you actually lay out what the bill means, it doesn't make any sense, Lauren's mom said. Private Detective Wysocki has uncovered many cases that were first ruled a suicide to, in fact, be murder, and that is ongoing. Wysocki said, "We have three cases right now that were ruled suicides, and all three families are fighting to get these investigations looked at again. Again, police usually do a great job and get to the truth, but even law enforcement themselves admit they are never 100% correct. Why then would we take this tool away from families seeking justice?" Fox 17 News asked State Senator Jack Johnson, who is the sponsor of the bill, for an interview, and he sent this statement. "The release of audio, photographs, or any other recordings taken inside of a private residence where a person tragically passed away, and when no crime has been determined to have been committed, this harms families and provides no benefit to the public." But that assumes that law enforcement gets it right 100% of the time. Fox News asked for further comment. "We are still working on this bill," his office replied. "We don't have the wording right, but we need a solution that would protect victims' rights, but also not infringe on the public's right to information." And then, a day later, another call from the Republican caucus came and said that the bill stands dead. They said they are working on something similar that would protect privacy but not infringe on the rights of Tennesseans. Sherry Smith says to let it go. Naomi Judd was a wonderful country music singer, and it's a tragic, tragic thing how she died, said Smith, Lauren's mom. But she's a celebrity, and there's 6.8 million other Tennesseans that have rights as well. Even though the bill is dead, Senator Johnson plans to bring it back in a different form, end quote. I am so glad that the bill is dead. It's a little concerning that he's trying to get a new one passed or something similar. And I just don't understand why he cares so much. I don't have stats handy, and the Naomi Judd death is tragic. But I believe the press was just interested because she's a celebrity. I don't understand why Jack Johnson is so set on parents or loved ones not having answers when they are struggling. And sure, maybe when parents are hurting, they had an unexpected death of a child, they'll do anything to help make sense of their child's death. But I just don't think that there's a lack of resources here to have someone pull files. And I don't think that people are being disrespectful about this stuff aside from possible press with the Naomi Judd case. So I believe that to be one off, and it's a little concerning that he seems so hung up on this. But let's go back to body cam footage, dash cam footage. Someone made a comment on Angie Solomon's ex, formerly called Twitter account, and I thought what they said was a good idea. And look, it might be a few years too late, but you never know. So this person stated, "Can you post a plea for dash cam footage from any of the vehicles driving by? Post in some semi-truck groups maybe, as they all seemingly have dash cams nowadays." I thought that was really interesting. Does anyone know of any semi-truck groups? I mean, I've been looking a bit on Facebook, so I do plan on posting there. But if anyone knows of any good ones or valid ones, drop me a line. And I also want to shout someone out or something out. I want to shout out the Heartland Journal podcast, Tennessee, hosted by Steve Abramowitz. And I linked out in the episode notes an episode that Steve did with Austin Davis, the Covenant Church and School sex abuse whistleblower, because Steve is local and Steve is not afraid to cover any of these stories and any of these cases. And I give him so much credit for that. He's also been in touch with Angie Solomon. So hopefully he will get her on soon and we can listen to what she has to say with Steve. Because again, Steve is great. And this is not easy stuff to cover, especially when you're local. And speaking of Austin Davis and the Covenant School, the hearing for releasing the Covenant School Shooters Manifesto was last week, April 16th.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And both sides were able to share their arguments on why it should be released or why it should not. And generally, the parents at the school are the ones fighting for it not to be released, as well as some of the victims' parents, obviously. And I just cannot even imagine being in their position. But a Covenant school attorney stated that they believe the shooter's writings in this case present a very well-known risk to the school. And I'm thinking, that was very poorly worded, in my opinion. A risk to the school, not a risk to the children. Maybe that would have been better to say, oh, this is a risk to the children. Because yes, of course, the school would be at risk, namely the school's reputation, if let's say allegations of SA are in that manifesto, because most likely it would indicate that certain people knew. So would that affect the school negatively? Yes, absolutely. But what about protecting the current children, the current students? What about their safety? And yes, that was me speculating. I don't have any proof of anything that's possibly going on at the Covenant School in 2023 and 2024. I just thought that was very poorly worded. And lawyers of the victims' families also argued that they own the copyright to these writings because Audrey Hale's family had gifted them. They had gifted the victims' families all of her writings after the incident. And that's a very odd term, gifted, but that is the term that the court used. And one of the family's attorneys stated this: imagine us going to Taylor Swift's residence and they collect Ms. Swift's writings and find 10 new songs. We are in the same position as Ms. Swift. This is copyright and shouldn't be public. But the judge, Judge Miles, did not seem swayed by this copyright argument. This might be a federal court issue. You can't say everything written down is automatically copyrighted. I just really do not envy Judge Miles. I mean, this is a very difficult decision that she is going to have to make. And I really do hope whatever decision is made truly helps the children and benefits the children's families of the school and the church. Also, one other thing, it's been stated by law enforcement that they're still investigating to see if other people were involved with the shooting. I was like, wait, what? Wouldn't they know this after a year? I mean, maybe not, but you know, you can't perjure yourself in court here and say anything to keep the manifesto from being released. I found that to be very surprising and very interesting. So I will keep everyone posted on that. And lastly for today, I want to take it back to 2021 again. I know I did that briefly with Misty last week. I want to go back to court docs, Hicks versus Solomon, the ongoing custody battle. And here we have Melanie Hicks as the petitioner and Aaron Solomon is the respondent. And at this point, April of 2021, Angie and Gracie were living with Melanie Hicks. Grant had passed away, and Gracie is trying to process everything. And as you know, Angie had been ruled an abusive litigant previously. So again, Melanie is the petitioner here. And Magistrate Jacques Cabell is presiding over the court. You all remember him. He told Grant he could live with his mother, but then took it back after lunch. Why? I still think about this. And the court appointed counselor, Emily Anderson. And this is what I'm about to read you. She is being questioned by Melanie's attorney, Casey Ashworth, and Emily counseled both Grant and Gracie for years. And I just want to note that Aaron Solomon's attorney, his name is Josh Strickland, and you'll hear him jump in when Grant's name is brought up. And I completely understand it is his job to protect his client, but I'm just setting the stage here. Emily is being questioned about whether or not Gracie seems to be adjusting and happy living with her mom and Melanie. And Emily is saying, yes, she's doing so much better. She needs to be with her mom. And then Grant is brought up. And I'll explain after why I am reading all of this and bringing this back to everyone's attention. So I'm going to start reading. And again, we are starting with Melanie's attorney, Casey Ashworth, questioning the court-appointed counselor, Emily Anderson. Question. And ma'am, in your opinion, is Gracie happy living where she is with her mother and Miss Hicks? Answer. She is. Question. Okay. Question. If she were no longer living with them, would that be positive for her or negative for her? Answer. If she was no longer living with her mom? Question. Yes, ma'am. Answer. It would definitely be negative. Question. Okay, and why would you say that? Answer. I think the hardest thing, and I had just looked over something that Grant had shared with me, and he said this throughout the entire thing. It isn't. Then Mr. Strickland jumps in and says, objection, Your Honor, I believe this is hearsay. Mr. Ashworth says, it's an exception to the hearsay rule, statements for the medical diagnosis and treatment. The court, aka Magistrate Cabell, says, you're saying it's for diagnosis and treatment of Grant or Mr. Ashworth. Grant saw Miss Anderson in a therapeutic setting, so any of those statements would be an exception to the hearsay rule. Mr. Strickland, Your Honor, hundreds of people see Miss Anderson and she expresses opinions and medical diagnosis. This is a petition on Gracie Solomon, not Grant. Mr. Ashworth, Well, I will say, Your Honor, I do have some questions. There have been issues that have come up regarding Grant, even at the October hearing, restraining order hearing, and I did want to ask her a couple of questions about her therapeutic sessions with Grant, and I do think this is an exception to the hearsay rule. Mr. Strickland, it's not an exception to the relevancy rule, Your Honor. Magistrate Cabell, Well, it is relevant, but it is hearsay. I don't know this for the purpose of treatment or diagnosis, though. I'm not sure. Mr. Ashworth, I could lay a better foundation. Magistrate Cabell, Mr. Ashworth is going to ask some questions to lay some foundation. Emily Anderson says, okay. Mr. Ashworth, question. Before Grant Solomon passed away, did you see him? Answer by Emily. I did. Question. And did you see him in a therapeutic setting? Yes. Okay. And do you remember time period, how long and how many times you saw him? Answer. I don't know how many times I saw him, but it was over a 2-year period. Question. Okay. And my question, going back, what were you saying about what Grant said to you? Answer. Well, I think... Magistrate Cabell jumps in. Well, hold on, Mrs. Anderson. Mr. Strickland jumps in. I'm reiterating my objection. I don't see how Grant's treatment has anything to do with Gracie's current state. Mr. Ashworth. Well, Your Honor, there are issues that I want to ask her about regarding whether Grant felt fear towards his father. There is an allegation, obviously, over his death, and I think Your Honor heard testimony from his girlfriend at the restraining order hearing, and it is an exception to hearsay. She's established that he went and met with her for therapeutic purposes, and that is an exception. Mr. Strickland, and it's also an exception to Your Honor's ruling, and we're not going back to there. Mr. Ashworth, I'm not asking about before. Magistrate Cabell, before. Right. So, Mr. Strickland, before February of 2020, Mr. Ashworth, I'm not asking back past prior to the petition. I'm not asking Magistrate Cabell, prior to the petition. So you're asking, I thought the line of questioning was bringing it to something she was treating with Gracie, and then you were going to ask her something that Grant has said, or the beginning part of her answer was, throughout this process, and I don't know if it's relevant for purposes of treatment. Emily Anderson states, I think we focused in on why it would be harmful for Gracie to not be with her mom. Magistrate Cabell, right. Emily Anderson. And so I can answer that question and leave out what I was going to say regarding Grant. That's fine. I'm sorry I misspoke by bringing him up. Magistrate Cabell, okay, go ahead. Emily, okay. Why it would be harmful for Gracie to leave mom is because the original trauma for both children was leaving mom, and the way in which they left mom, it was extremely traumatic for both children, and that is the original place of trauma for Gracie. And so, not only that original place, there's been repeated times where Gracie was removed from mom or continued to have a fear of being removed from mom. And so, both kids would say, it's not all of the other stuff that's been the worst. It's been being away from mom, being taken from mom and not being with her and her not being with us, which also says there is a fear for mom and being apart from us, which is a child's fear. I'm not okay when I'm not with mom, and maybe mom's not okay when she's not with me. Mr. Ashworth. And Miss Anderson, did Grant Solomon ever express any fear of his father? Answer, yes. Question, okay, and what were those fears? Answer, he was afraid that I think his truck had been used as a parenting strategy for grades, and the truck for Grant meant some freedom and space. And I would think when he would be driving around in it, he expressed that this is my space and I am fully in charge of it. And I have the ability to feel like a young man who's not carrying the world on top of my shoulders. And so having that, if it were to be removed, it created a ton of anxiety for him. We had a session with Dad and himself in which they conversed on that, and Dad came to understand how Grant felt when that was used as a parenting strategy. And I think I felt better after that, but I think there was always a sense of, how is Dad gonna react to this? Question. Okay, and going back to Gracie, Miss Anderson, was there ever any issue about Mr. Solomon touching Gracie's hair to your recollection? Answer. In the hospital, are you referring to that? Question. Did you ever discuss Mr. Solomon touching Gracie's hair? Answer. Yes, it made her feel uncomfortable. Question. Did you ever ask him not to touch her hair or instruct him not to touch her hair? Answer. Well, Gracie, in several different sessions with Dad over the years, has set boundaries. And you know, this was one of those boundaries. Okay, and that's where I'm going to stop. And I did paraphrase a bit on some of this documentation, what I was saying, because these docs, I would have to assume that quite a few people have them, but they are not public, but I was sent these docs. So again, I have to think that other people have them as well. But there is a lot of things going on in this particular hearing that was a little crazy. I mean, how long did they sit there and opine over whether or not Grant's name could be spoken, which was so strange to me because he, even though he passed away, he was a part of this. I mean, and the court-appointed counselor at one point is just like, okay, I'm very sorry that I even brought him up. And, you know, you have to wonder when Sumner County claimed they, quote-unquote, reopened Grant's investigation, was any of this taken into consideration? Because again, the investigation, quote unquote, was reopened in 2021. So here you have a counselor who worked with these children for 2 years and spoke about the trauma they experienced and how this all stemmed from having their mother taken away. Now, this is completely my opinion. I just don't think that the manner in which Aaron Solomon removed the children from Angie Solomon was appropriate, or were the actions of a caring and loving father. In my opinion, the way that this was done, it was very narcissistic, and it was the action of a father who felt like he was losing control of his family. And so I just look back at some of these things that the counselor stated, and it's so sad because I can't even imagine being a little kid. I mean, you love your mom, you need your mom, and one day having your mom just taken away because your dad feels a certain way. So again, I'm not a doctor. That's my opinion. And it's just so troubling to go back and read some of this and know that this is on record, but yeah, it didn't matter when it came to Grant's death, looking into any of this at all. Okay, that is what I wanted to discuss for this week. And next week, I am looking forward to interviewing a great guest. I hope it pans out because I think everybody will be very, very impressed with what they have to say and their background in general. So get ready. If you like this podcast, don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple. I so appreciate everyone listening. Until next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.